Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, right. That is wonderful. I'll fly away. That is our hope. And when it's all said and done, I'll fly away. That's it. That means we need to be living right. So when our time comes, we can fly away and go and be with our Lord. All right. All right, last time I was before you, I shared a lesson with you. It was entitled, "A Drawing Closer to God." All right. The whole idea of that lesson was to have a greater and more intimate relationship with God, implying spiritual growth and maturity. We know that the number one thing that we need in developing a relationship with anyone is time. So we're talking about spending time with God. How do you do that? Well, these are my thoughts. One, we grow closer to God by spending time reading, studying, and applying His Word in our lives. Number two, we grow closer to God by spending time in prayer, that is communicating, talking with God. Number three, we grow closer to God by spending time in fellowship with God and Son and also one another as Christians, those who are closest to God. So our text this morning is coming from the book of Acts, chapter 2, and starting here at verse 42 through 47. Acts 2, 42 through 47. And I'll read that for us. And starting here at verse number 42, and it reads, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So here we see the church, the early church, being established. We see here that the apostle Peter, he preached the first gospel sermon, 3,000 was baptized and added to the Lord's church. All right, and we see now that we have 3,000 new disciples. All right, and in verse number 42, which is our main text here, as we're focused on, in verse number 42, we see that they decided to devote themselves to four things. First thing they decided to devote themselves was to the apostles' teaching. All right, the apostles' teaching, which comes from the Lord. Also, the second thing was in fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship with one another in that joint participation of the work of the Lord. And then we see three, the breaking of bread or partaking thereof of the Lord's Supper, which reminded them of the great sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ. And is also a reminder for us that we need to be living sacrifices too, giving back to the Lord of our lives. All right, we looked at those three things last time I was before you. This morning we're going to look at the early church devoting themselves to. The last thing there on their list is prayer. All right, this is what they decided to devote themselves to when they became new Christians. So it has been said that God talked to us through His Word, and we talk to God through prayer. All right, and what a privilege it is to be able to go before our Heavenly Father and to talk to Him about anything, at any time, anywhere. What an amazing God that we have, that we can talk to Him whenever we feel like it about anything that's going on in our heart. From the big things to the small things, we can go to our Father and talk to Him. What a privilege we have. So we see that the early church, they devoted themselves to prayer. Why did they devote themselves to prayer? Well, this is my lesson with my thoughts on why they did. But the understanding is that we can understand why they devoted themselves to prayer. We can understand why we needed to be devoted to prayer also. Amen. All right. So the early church was devoted to prayer because, my thoughts, they understood the power of prayer. All right. In other words, they believe that God hears and answers prayers, their prayers. All right. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe that God hears and answers your prayers? Do I believe that God hears and answers our prayers? So we want to look at this lesson here and see why that the disciples of Christ devoted themselves to prayer. Let us turn to James chapter 5, the book of James chapter 5. And we're going to look at here familiar verses here in James chapter 5 and looking at verse number 16. James 5 and verse 16. The Bible reads, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that ye may be healed. The prayers of the righteous person is powerful and effective." King James says, "The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much." All right, so here's James writing to these Christians, and he says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray to one another so that you may be healed." So he's telling them, confess your sins, pray for each other so that you can be healed, so that you can be forgiven of your sins. All right, then he says, the prayers of a righteous person, the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So we see that there is conditions about God answering our prayers. One of them here is that he is a righteous person going before God, asking him what our petitions, our supplications, and etc. So then we see that James gives an example of the power and effectiveness of prayer in the prophet of Elijah. And that's what we find there in verses 17 through 18. And this is what James says here. He says, "Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." So we see here an example of the life of Elijah. The prophet here, he says, Elijah prayed earnestly to God that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't rain. And he says he prayed again, and then it rained. You're like, wow, look at the power and effectiveness in prayer in the life of Elijah. But we all know that Elijah, he was a superhuman, all right? Elijah was not like us, right? No. The Bible tells us here, and James says in verse 17, that Elijah was a human being even as we are. So James is showing us the power and effectiveness of prayer, the same power and effectiveness we have in prayer also. Why? Because we serve the same God as Elijah does, all right? We have the power and effectiveness of prayer when we are righteous and we go before God in prayer. All right? So do you believe you have that power in prayer? Amen. Amen. We have that power also. That's what James is trying to get these Christians to see as well for us today. All right? So we have that same power. Let us turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we look at here in verses 14 and 15. First John 5, verse 14 and 15. And the Bible reads here, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him." So John says that this is the confidence that we have. All right? Confidence here is a key word. In verse number 15, John says, "We know." He says that twice. We know. Speaking of the confidence we have in approaching God in prayer. All right? That whenever we ask, that is according to what? His will. According to God's will, he hears us, and whatever we ask of God, he will give to us. So he's showing us that we have a confidence in approaching God, that when we pray to God according to his will, he hears us and he will give us what we're asking for. But we always want to be mindful that God does what's best for our lives. All right? Praying to God, "I need that new sports car, Lord. I need to get back and forth to Pahrump Church of Christ. So I need that new sports car, that new two-seater." That's not all what God wants for me in my life. So, you know, we're praying according to what God's will. He's going to give to us according to what's best in our lives and according to His will, what He wants for our lives, for His overall purpose. So at many times I have prayed for loved ones that have been sick and dying, asking them, Lord, give them more time on this earth. I have prayed for people to come, for them to obey the gospel. Lord, help them to obey the gospel. Give more time so they can obey the gospel. It didn't happen. All right, it didn't happen. How do I deal with that? Well, I have to accept that God knows what He's doing. I just have to accept that God knows what He's doing. He knows what's best. He knows what He's doing. And I just need to make sure I keep my faith intact, that that doesn't upset my faith, and that I keep my trust in God. Mm-hmm. I have to pray that God knows what's best for us and accept His will in all things. All right, so that's how I accept that in my life. Let us look at some scripture here in the Old Testament pertaining unto prayer. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Looking at verses 5 through 8. Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8. All right, so here we have here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Moses here is speaking to the children of Israel before they go into the land of promise. He's giving them instructions from God. This is what you need to do. And this is what Moses says here in Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8. Verse 5, he says, see, I have told you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me. This is the purpose. So that you may follow them in the Lord, in the land you are entering to possess it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who hear about all the decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? So we see here, when we obey God's word, we show to the world how wise and understanding people we are, which should be a reflection about the wise and understanding God that we serve, which should be an attraction to the world to want to come to know about that great God that you serve. So this is what we see here in the life here of Israel. If they followed the laws carefully, the law that Moses has given to them from God, they followed God's law carefully when they entered into the promised land, the other nations around them will see how wise and understanding people they are, and they will know that they are wise and understanding people because of the laws that they have that come from God. All right? So the other nations around them we'll see how wise and understanding people they are. And then verse number 7, Moses says here, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to them? So there was other nations who had gods, false gods, little g's that they prayed to, all right? But they didn't have a God like the God of Israel. He said, our God is near us, all right? Whenever we call to Him, He's near us. That means he's implying that God hears us when we pray to Him. The other nations around prayed to their gods, but they didn't have a God like the God of Israel that heard them. I read that, it reminded me of Baal and Elijah and that whole account there that was going on with the false gods of Baal and the true God, living God there of Israel. All right? Then he says, I want to say here that God was not far from them. All right, so he says God is near. God is not some way out of space somewhere that He can't hear us or know what's going on. We serve Almighty, all-knowing, and all-wise God. He knows all. He hears all. God, He knows everything that goes on. He can hear our prayers. If He doesn't hear or answer our prayers, it is because of our sins. That is one thing that we see there in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ears heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your gods, and your sins have hidden His face from you that He will not hear you. All right, also we see that in 1 Peter chapter 3 and 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are inclined to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So God will hear our prayers when we're in line with His will and also living righteous lives. Those are some of the conditions there of prayers that we see in prayer. All right, let's look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and we'll see some instructions, some commands given by the Apostle Paul to the church. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Colossians 4 and 2. And the Apostle Paul says here, devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. All right, so we see here, devote yourselves to prayer. That's the instructions, the command that Paul is giving to the Christians here. Devote yourselves to prayer. We ought to be those, as God's people, devoted to prayer, constantly giving ourselves over in prayer, as we see the Christians, early church was those who were devoted to prayer. Let us turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Another well-known verse here. It says, pray continually or pray without ceasing. What does that mean? We know what ceasing means. Cease means to stop. So what is it saying? Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Keep praying to God. Keep going to God in prayer. Even when things get difficult, things get hard, thinking God is not answering your prayer, keep praying to God. Don't give up in prayer. Keep going to God in prayer. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 12. Romans 12 and verse 12. Paul says also to the Christians here at Rome, he says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Continue telling you the same thing over. You be devoted to prayer. Be faithful in prayer. Don't give up in prayer. Keep going to God in prayer. Keep going continually. Be devoted in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Scriptures even say labor in prayer. Keep going to God in prayer. Question for you. When do you pray the most? When do you pray the most? And the reason why I bring that question is because I want to tell you when I pray the most. You know when I pray the most? When I'm in trouble. Brother Young's in big trouble. When my loved one's in trouble, I go to the Lord in prayer. And I'll be praying to the Lord over and over about what's going on. I'm in trouble, Lord. I need help. I go back to the Lord over and over and continue to pray to the Lord. Number two, why I pray, when I pray the most, when I'm doing the Lord's work. I have to pray to the Lord, all right? Going to the Lord when I'm praying to the Lord. You got to minister to somebody, somebody you don't even know. All right, just a scenario here. Somebody calls you and tell you, my daughter's been in some tragic situation. Can you come talk to her? Can you come and talk to her? Can you minister to her? Praying to the Lord for that scenario. I need the Lord. I need your help. You know, I need to go handle this situation, handle it delicately. I need you to help me in this situation. If you have a Bible study with somebody you don't even know, all right, come have a Bible study with this person. Praying to the Lord for that. Visiting the sick. You know, I don't know what to say to somebody. Lord, help me what to say to somebody. Going out door knocking. Go out door knocking. Talk to total, complete strangers. You know, a whole bunch of them in the yard being rowdy. Here I come. Here come the Bible thumper or whatever you might want to say. It's the Bible. Here's this rowdy crowd of fellas up in here. I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. Right? Sometimes they'll be the most acceptive people than other ones. You think the pretty lady sitting up in her yard with flowers and whatever. She ain't want to hear nothing what you got to say. You go to these rowdy group of folks over here that you think they want to hear, them be the ones sometimes they want to hear what you got to say. You never know. Just go out and plant the seed. Do the Lord's will. All right? So in all those scenarios, what I'm saying here is that I need the Lord. All right? I need to be praying and asking the Lord to help me. So I'm trusting, depending, relying on, and seeking God's guidance and wisdom because I know I can't do this alone. This is a spiritual battle, and I know I need the Lord. The Bible says be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So I need to trust the Lord. All right, I need to realize that I need God, not some of the time, but I need God all the time in my life. That's that relationship. I'm constantly talking to the Lord, constantly talking to God. And that's about drawing closer to God. When I'm doing God's work, when I'm about my Father's business, I'm praying, Lord, help me to do this. Help me to do this. Me and Brother Kevin talk about being nervous or something. Sometimes you're nervous. You get up, you go, you trust. Lord, help me do this. Talked about Esther. All right, Mordecai, Lord, help me to do this. I can't do this alone. I need your help. Constant communication and prayer to the Lord, not giving up, asking the Lord for help. Let us look at some early examples of the church in prayer. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Excuse me, Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Got that completely backwards. Okay. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, starting at verse 24. Actually, 23, let's tag up there. I'll explain what's going on here. Peter and John had just healed the lame man there in chapter 3. Crowds had formed around them. All right, and now Peter and John has been arrested, put in jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the next day they're going to be brought before the Sanhedrin Council, and they are going to be threatened not to speak or preach in the name of Jesus ever again. And then they're released. All right, so tell you that for you won't take this threat lightly. We'll see what's going on here, because the Sanhedrin Council are the same group of folks that were instrumental in sending Jesus to the cross. All right, so this is not a light threat we're about to read about here. All right, here, verse 23, Acts 4:23. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voice together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All right, so we see when Peter and John was released, they went back to their own people, it tells us here, and they told them all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. All right, and Luke says when they heard this, they together raised their voice unto God. They seen that Peter and John had been arrested, threatened not to preach ever again. They come back to their own people. They together, when they heard this, they lifted up their voice and praised to God. They prayed to God about this situation here. All right. And then it tells us here of their prayer here. It said there in verse 24, they said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the seas in them. So now they're praying. They said, Sovereign Lord. So they see how they address to God. You're a ruler. You created all things. You're supreme ruler over all. You created everything. So they're praying, letting them know, God, you're in control. You're the ruler. You're over everything that is going on here. And in verse 25 and 26, we see that there is a quote of David there. In 25, he says, why do the heathens rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, the rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed one. So what does that mean? He says that the kings and the rulers, they all coming against the Lord. And they coming against his anointed one. Speaking of Jesus Christ. So we have all these group of men here, rulers and leaders, coming against the Lord. But who is that? Well, it tells us there in verse number 27. Herod, Pontius, Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, they conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. All right? They did with your power and will had decided beforehand to do. So we got this prophecy here of David, which he spoke of a long time ago. Now we see that all these men are coming against the Lord and against Jesus Christ here. And it says that this was already, God had already said they're doing what was in God's power and his will beforehand for them to do. So God already knew all this was going to happen. What are they praying about? Once again, God, you're in control. You already knew all that this was going to take place here. In verse 29, we see what their request was. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak with great boldness. They're threatening to take our lives. They threaten to stop us from preaching the word of God. Give us the courage to preach the word of God. Mm-hmm. They're asking for great boldness to do your will. They're praying to God, help us to preach your word. Any challenges to stretch out and do miracles in their name, and they're praying to preach the word of God. So knowing that these men, they wanted to stop the gospel, but they're praying that the gospel will not stop. Give us the courage to preach the word. So we always see two forces at work. We see God and his servants and his word and work going forth, and we see the enemy of God. It's Satan here trying to stop God's work and his word going forth. Satan don't want the gospel to be preached, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He doesn't want the gospel to be preached because he don't want you to be saved. But God's word will go forth, and nothing will stop God's word from going forth. All right, God's word will go forth. And we see verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. You talk about power in prayer, God answering their prayer. The place was shaken when they prayed to God, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the word of God boldly. Did God answer their prayers? Absolutely, he did. He wants his work to go on. He wants his will to go on. They prayed in the line with God's will. All right, let's look at another example here. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Acts 12 and 5. All right, another example here of the early church praying. Chapter 12 and verse 5 of Acts is where we'll start. What was going on here? We have Herod. He's killed James. James, the brother of John, he's killed him. He's beheaded him. All right, and the Jews was happy with that, so now he arrested Peter, and he was intending to bring Peter back out at a later time, and probably, I'm sure, having him killed also. But I think it was the Passover, so they didn't do that, so they was planning on holding Peter and bringing him out later, possibly to execute him as well. All right, so the church here is praying on Peter's behalf. Verse number 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guard and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of the street, suddenly the angel left. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know, without a doubt, that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches, and from everything that the Jewish people was hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, a mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed and ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hands for them to be quiet and described how the Lord brought him out of the prison. "Tell James and other brothers and sisters about this," he said. And then he left for another place. So while Peter was in prison, the church was praying for him. All right, they're praying for him. Whatever it is safe, keep, Lord, release him. They're praying. Many people came and was praying for Peter. And we see that the angel came and rescued Peter and freed him from prison. Peter went to Mary's house. Many people were praying for him. We have Rhoda, which is a servant girl. She recognized Peter's voice, but so excited, she ran to tell everybody it's Peter. They told him, "You must be out of your mind. That can't be Peter. That must be his angel out there." All right, Peter kept knocking on the door, and they finally opened the door for Peter. So they were praying. All right, we know they were praying. All right, for Peter. And you know that Peter, they didn't get it. Because God had answered their prayers, if that's what they were praying for. But they didn't get it. They didn't believe that Peter had been rescued. But I'll tell you one person that did get it. Peter got it. Peter got it for sure. Verse number 11, he says, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and everything the Jewish people was hoping to happen to me." Verse number 7, he described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. The Lord answers prayer. You know, for Peter, in his case at this time, the Lord answered prayer. All right, let's continue on. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. So we see that the early church, they devoted themselves to prayer. They believed in the power of the prayer. And they had the greatest example of prayer before them. And that is in the example of Jesus Christ himself. So here is Jesus here in Matthew 6. And he's teaching his disciples to not be hypocrites. He said, don't be like the religious leaders who only pray because they want to be seen of men. He says, don't do this. All right, verse number 6 here, Matthew 6 and 6. This is Jesus here. He says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So we see that prayer is not for show. All right, we have public prayer, we have private prayer, but our prayers is not for show. We're talking to our Heavenly Father, all right, about what is going on and our request to him. And we see that God answers prayer, Jesus says here. "Then your Heavenly Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18 and 1. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. It says here, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." That's what we were reading about. Always be consistent in prayer. Prayer without ceasing. Be faithful in prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray and don't give up. Continue in prayer. Then he gave them the parable. What was the parable? The parable was the parable of the persistent widow who kept going before the judge pleading her case. Keep going to God. Don't give up in prayer is what Jesus is saying. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we're looking at here as Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his Father, knowing that not too far from here, he is going to die on the cross. So he's praying to his Father here. And I'll skip through some verses here for the sake of time here. Matthew 26, starting here, verse 36. Matthew 26, 36. And it reads, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.'" So Jesus with his disciples, and he tells his disciples here to sit here while I go and pray to my Father. Verse 39, "Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" All right, verse 42. "He went again a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.'" In verse 44, "So he left them and went again once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing." So we see here Jesus prayed three times about the same thing. All right. "Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup be taken away from me. Yet not I will, but let your will be done." Mm-hmm. So it's all about letting God's will be done in our lives. Even in difficult situations, difficult as Jesus facing the cross, he's praying to the Lord. Why is he praying to the Lord? For one, it reminds him of God's will. God wants him to go to the cross. This is why I came, to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. This is my purpose, my mission, is to go to the cross. Let your will be done. Also, prayer strengthens us to do God's will. Praying and asking God to help me reminds me of what God has said in his word. The Holy Spirit brings to our mind, this is what God's will is. Well, let God's will be done. And that's where we all should stand. Let God's will be done. Last passage, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In verses 14 through 16. Hebrews the 4th chapter, verse 14 through 16. It reads, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. So we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is ascended into heaven, interceding on our behalf. He's been tempted in every way. He understands what we are going through, all right? And he knows everything that's going on in our lives. So he tells us that we can have confidence in drawing close to God and approaching God's throne of grace and mercy so that we can have help in our time of need. This is what we have in Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. We have a great high priest who knows all, so we can go before our Heavenly Father and speak to our Heavenly Father, and he knows what's going on with us. We have Jesus Christ there for us. So conclusion here of this lesson here is the early church, they devoted themselves to prayer because they knew that God hears and answers their prayer. All right, and that their prayer is powerful and effective. We serve the same God today. Amen. All right, we have power in prayer. It is powerful and effective, and we need to continue to go to God in prayer. Let us, as the church, God's people, his children, let us be devoted in prayer. Continue to go to God, not giving up, for God hears the prayers of the righteous. His ears is inclined to their prayers. So let us draw close to God, especially in these days and times. We need to be close to God and stay close to God. All right. If anyone here, as members of the church, that has a request that you want to bring forth before the church, that we can pray for you and whatever need it is, you can come after we sing the invitation song. If someone here who has not obeyed the gospel, who has not become a Christian, this is your invitation. God is giving you an invitation through his word. You hear the word of God. You believe the word of God. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You repent of your sins. You are to be baptized. All right? Once you are baptized, God will give you a portion of his Holy Spirit. He will add you to the church, the only church that you read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. And once you do that, you live faithful until death. And God promised to give you a crown of righteousness. He will give you a crown of eternal life. If there's anyone here that has that desire to become a Christian today, you can do so forth once we now stand and sing the invitation song.